It's the Afternoon Gems on the phone line. Good friend of mine, psychologist Lennox Forrest, is on the phone line. Dr. Lennox Forrest, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, Paul. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing okay, but I am kind of disturbed and worried. I see this report, a news report by Detroit News that posted a story about the increase in suicides among black males and females, teenagers, and the rates are very alarming. 60%, 60% for ages 13 and 19 among black males, and that's between 2001 and 2017. 182% increase in black girls. In 2017 alone, 68,528 black teen males and 94,760 black teen females made suicide attempts serious enough that they had to be treated by health professionals. What is really going on, Doc? What we need to talk about today?
Well, there's so much to talk about, Paul, when we look at this subject. You've stated some very significant statistics. We know that suicide is the second leading cause of death after homicide. We also know that the age group 16 to 24, that age group, suicide is the leading cause of death. So very, very disturbing.
Yeah.
What's troubling is what's happening in the society overall, and yes, definitely in the African American community. But we need to look at certain things. Now, here's a survey that was cited not long ago. The survey stated that in the inner city, elementary school age students whose parents owned a gun, three quarters of them knew where the gun was kept. Okay? So obviously, if parents can do a better job in terms of locking up firearms, that's going to greatly reduce the suicide rate. Because when we look at suicide, number one, females attempt more suicide than males, but males complete suicides more so than females. And here's why. When males look to kill themselves, take their own lives, they use what we call extremely lethal methods, such as firearms, such as knives. Females, on the other hand, they will most likely utilize prescription drugs. So obviously, when a gun is involved, the completion of a suicide is extremely high.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And when people have what we call a specific plan with tremendous specificity, then we know that they're going to do that.
Wow.
When they have an intricate plan of how they're going to end their lives, then we know that's a very, very significant sign. But a couple of things are happening that's contributing to this high suicide rate among African Americans especially. And number one is that when it comes to mental health, that tends to take a back seat in many communities, especially the African American community, as opposed to other health-related problems.
Okay.
But we don't really examine mental health very seriously because the stigma that's associated with mental health is extremely prolific.
Right, right.
So we tend not to address that issue, but we do know that when issues like that are addressed, depression and anxiety, it can make a difference to improve someone's mental health.
Did some lifestyles changes that maybe things change within the black community? The dynamics change? Maybe are we seeing the triple-down effect of second-generational kids whose parents might have been on drugs or crack cocaine? I mean, these rates are alarmingly high. We've seen that unemployment is down among the black community. People are working.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing more educated black females than we ever seen in our time.
Yeah.
We're seeing, you know, two-family homes. And so what are some of the things that are going on in the households that we're not paying attention to that is causing our black boys and black girls say we want to end our life?
Well, once again, you know, the research suggests that there's a far greater need for mental health services in the African-American communities.
That's it.
Public health researchers have repeatedly documented that black youths are less likely than the youth population as a whole to receive adequate mental health treatment.
Mm. Wow.
Okay. That's a very significant factor there.
Do you believe that everyone, every black person should see a psychologist at one point in their life?
Well, obviously I'm going to say that if they're having any types of struggles, it would be a good thing. Because unfortunately, our society, we are told that we should be able to solve our problems by ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Soliciting help from someone is a sign of weakness. So we can't show that type of vulnerability. And once again, that stigma where we feel that people are going to be looked down on in the African American community. Call me anything, but don't call me crazy.
Right. Is it possible that
very, very significant stigma?
Is it possible that people can have mental health problems but don't realize they have mental health problems?
Most definitely, because so many things can trigger a mental health problem. For example, losing a loved one, whether it's through an accident, health problems, that can destabilize a person's mental health. And
right.
Obviously send that person into a mental health crisis. You know, the breakup of a relationship can destabilize someone. So we see so many different factors, Paul, that can affect someone's equilibrium when it comes to their overall functioning. Okay?
Right.
Adequate access to mental health care services. Mental health care services has always taken a backseat to other forms of health care. If someone feels that they're sick, they'll go see their physician without a problem. Okay?
If right.
they've got diabetes, any type of heart problem, they're going to go see a provider.
Right.
But we don't have that same type of acceptance when it comes to going to see someone due to depression, anxiety, any type of severe mental health challenges such as bipolar conditions, schizophrenia. It's just frowned upon.
It's frowned upon. Wow.
But we know that increased mental health access in urban public schools could reduce suicide attempts by as much as 15%. We right. also know that high rates of depression and anxiety can cause someone to think about entertaining suicide. We're also seeing unprecedented levels of social media usage, which can be a very difficult platform for some young people to navigate, especially if they're being bullied online. A lot of young people feel that their whole life is wrapped up in suicide, and it's wrapped up in their cell phone. We also know that a greater willingness of families and officials to acknowledge suicide as a cause of death is also helping to fuel the increase in death by suicide.
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I was going to say the increased risk for heroin or opiate use to commit suicide is very staggering.
How bad is the cyber bullying in the black community?
Yes, very significant.
And cyberbullying, it could be someone says something about you on a continuous basis in the public, on a public forum, and demeaning you on a constant demeaning of you in a public forum. Is that cyberbullying?
That's cyberbullying. What's so different now is that before, when this would happen, maybe 5 or 10 people would know about it. But when you put it out there in social media, hundreds, thousands of people hear about it. So the person feels totally humiliated. They feel very depressed. And we also know that one of the biggest predictors for suicide is when someone feels totally hopeless.
Wow. Wow. What do you suggest kids to, what do you suggest to kids do if they're being cyber bullied?
Well, first they have to tell an adult, hopefully a family member, someone that they can trust. And if it's within the school environment, they've got to let the school official know, principals, teachers, vice principals, so that the issue can be addressed.
Right.
So you've got to talk about it. You've got to put it out there. Don't keep it to yourself, thinking that you can handle it by yourself. Because when you're internalizing what we call lingering negative emotions, such as anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, guilt, that right. is really setting up a person in a very negative way to maybe act impulsively.
Right, right.
Act in ways that they normally would not act, not utilize good judgment.
Wow.
Okay. And I will say, too, that unfortunately a lot of suicides are accidental. Someone may not have totally intended to take their life, but, for example, you know, someone might be slitting, cutting their wrists, and they cut too deep.
Mm. Wow. Dr. Forrest, what about the kids who are molested or raped? Tell their parents, and the parents does nothing. What kind of effect does that have on the kid?
That's a very, very demoralizing negative impact on that child. Because number one, for a lot of people, children especially, who have been abused, it is not easy for them to come forth to tell someone. Because normally, when you've been abused, you're blaming yourself.
Right.
You think it's your fault. What did I do to deserve this? So it's very hard to tell a parent. And then when you tell the parent, and two things can happen, which is extremely negative, Paul, is number one, the parent doesn't believe you.
Right.
Okay, that's detrimental within itself. And then number two, the parent does nothing. They act as if nothing took place. And unfortunately, sexual abuse happens far more within the family system than we would like to acknowledge.
As I get older,
go ahead.
As I get older, I'm saddened to see and hear and talk to some of my friends that I went to school with, went to college with, hung out with in my early adult ages, who were being molested or raped during those times, and they suppressed it.
Yes.
And they're dealing with some
exactly.
of the consequences now because they, you know, there's a cause and effect. It is troubling.
Exactly.
Troubling. And these are black folks I'm talking about.
How many
of these folks are still running the street, the perpetrators are still in the streets, left to victimize and abuse other people? It bothers me.
That's exactly what will happen, Paul. If they don't get help, they will be perpetrators based on what has happened to them. And one of the greatest things that comes out of being sexually abused as a child is that you have a very difficult time trusting people.
Right.
Hence, it's going to be hard for you to develop stable, consistent relationships.
Right. Wow. Thank you so much. Doc, if someone want to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
They can reach me in many different ways, Paul. They can call the office, 616-340-4984. Another number, 616-249-8486. Or they can make contact with my administrative assistant, 616-550-0744. Or they can send me an email at Dr. Forrest, and Forrest is spelled with two R's, .faith, F-A-I-T-H, @gmail.com.
Thank you so much. In closing, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
I would like to say, as you know, for those who are listening, if something is troubling you, if something traumatic has happened to you, please talk to someone about it. Don't try to struggle with it yourself, because we know that when things have happened and people try to repress them, they are still surfacing and impacting our behavior, our way of thinking, in many different ways that you as the individual may not be able to see, because obviously we cannot look at ourselves objectively, but others can. So if something has happened, be willing to talk to someone about it, just to be able to release and express your thoughts and feelings can significantly impact your mental health in a positive way.
Doc, one last question. I'm sorry. You said something that triggered another question. How does one start to heal from being molested, raped, or abused as a kid?
That's a great question. Number one is that the person has to realize that this is not my fault. Okay, so they've got to acknowledge that I was not a contributor to this. I was victimized by someone else. Okay, so being able to forgive yourself, to be able to talk about it, to express yourself, to ventilate thoughts and feelings about what took place, and to be able to talk about it in a caring, trusting, confidential manner with someone will bring about some positive relief.
Wow. One last time, please give out your contact information, please.
Office number 616-249-8486 or 616-340-4984. My administrative assistance phone number 616-550-0744. Or you can send me an email at drforrest.faith@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Dr. Forrest. You're the best, man. I appreciate you.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
You too, sir. All right, family. Dr. Lennox Forrest. And, of course, if you want to hear this interview again, make sure you go and download our app. And we're going to have it on demand also. Back to more music. It's Afternoon Jams.